Benevolence.
Benevolence.
Let's talk about benevolence.
Benevolence.
The thing that keeps me from rest sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a
so
bad
what is
thing.
Benevolence?
Soften up.
That's a funny word. Benevolence.
Yes.
Being good to people?
Yes.
Showing
being
favor,
benevolent,
giving
being nice to
gifts.
Be good. Let's be a good church, nice people.
Mm-hmm.
We give.
God nice. Is benevolent to us.
Nice.
We're benevolent to others.
Nice.
Nice.
Is an interesting word.
Yeah?
I don't know if I like nice.
Let's look it up.
Are we supposed to be nice?
You should try nice sometimes,
should
do we?
Should we be nice? It's nice.
Be gentle to all.
Gentle.
The quality of being well-meaning. Kindness. Benevolence.
That's kindness, benevolence. I think that's good, but nice. I think sometimes we confuse niceness for doing what's good for people.
Nice.
That doesn't hurt someone's feelings.
Pleasant, agreeable, satisfactory.
Okay.
Agreeable.
Yes.
It's not agreeable when I tell my kids, no.
Yeah.
You're going to burn your hand if you put it on the stove.
Yeah.
Dad, but it looks so fun.
So here's the thing. So this summer, while I was on sabbatical, somehow my email got, what would you call it? It's not hacked. It's like mimicked or
yes,
scammed or phished or
yes.
That's like the technical term.
So what people can do is basically the technical thing is that if you somehow someone got access, and I think this happened to a number of churches in the area,
kind of,
they get
yeah.
access to like email lists, mm-hmm. right? And you can identify like who is the lead pastor or who is the chief communicator or whatever. And they could have done this any number of ways. And like, we don't even know how it happened. We do know multiple churches this happened.
Okay.
So they got a list of all the contacts that are in some kind of database, right? And they know who is the pastor. And then they had this system where instead of actually coming from your email, they use what's called the email headers,
mm-hmm.
which is metadata. It's unseen data that says, even though it came from something at Gmail, make it look like it came from
right Living Hope.
Yeah, Living Hope. So, or they actually just did, they copied your email address and it was like @gmail.com.
Yeah, it was like off by a couple of things,
yes.
but it looked like it was from me.
Yes. And then I remember getting an email from you saying that there was this great need of someone in the church and you wanted me to help you.
Yeah.
That I was supposed to get a bunch of, I don't know,
gift cards.
Yeah, gift cards. And to not let anyone else know about this.
Yes.
Because it was very clear that the person who is in need, right, this needs to be, just between you and me. And then to email you back once I bought $250 of gift cards.
Yeah, so there was another one along with that one that said something, there's a matter of great importance, please call me right away. So I'm on my sabbatical. First of all, I was hardly on email at all. At the very beginning I was, because I was clearing up some things, but then I was vowing like, don't even go on email. So people are getting emails from me, or look like it was. Second of all, I'm on a sabbatical and now I'm starting to get texts and phone calls from people like, Pastor, I got your email, how can I help? Or they were saying, I got this email from you that looked funny. And then my wife started getting texts from people because they were like, I got this thing from Blair. Is that even true? So the good thing was I got to talk to some people at church.
Yeah.
And being away most of the time, I didn't get to talk with them. So I was like, hey, how you doing? That was good. But then it brought up this thing that maybe in the purpose of the podcast, maybe our people don't know what we do for benevolence ministry around here. So we can talk about that. But I would like to say, if the church were to ask for help, it would not be me contacting you as an individual and saying, hey, keep this quiet. The senior pastor wants you to get some gift cards. That is a total scam. And that's very shady. I would never do that. On one part, but the second part is I wouldn't need to do that because we have a benevolence fund at the church that's already in our budget. Plus, people give special gifts out of their own volition throughout the year.
So that's the thing, is that if you're part of Living Hope Church, you're already giving towards benevolence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we would never ask you, right, to give to a need because as a church, we have a big chunk of our budget for missions, and we also have... We got money for benevolence,
mm-hmm.
and what we're able to do with that as a church is actually care for people and to help people who really need it in a way that is helping them, not just exacerbating the problem.
So some things that we've done this year for benevolence. Yeah. We have helped some people pay, people from our church, mm-hmm. pay for some kind of real important bills, like a gas bill to heat their house.
Yeah, keep their utilities yeah. going. And keep someone's house from foreclosing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We helped somebody just with groceries, just basic needs. We've done some gas cards for people that have needs, things like that.
And I think that's important because what we're trying to do, and you two are the main overseers of the benevolence ministry. I'll tell you a story about that in a little bit. But what we're trying to do is, you know, within the church family, and I think there's a scripture, it's either Galatians, I'll have to check it up, or 1 Peter, but doing good within the household of God, you know, taking care of each other, because we have, well, let me just ask a question. Why are we more prone to helping those that we know versus people who might be a cold call off the street? What's the philosophy behind that?
I'll tell you a story from India. A church planner that I was working with, we would meet maybe once a month with a group of other church planners. This guy, his only possession that he used for planning churches in remote villages was a bicycle. He loves Jesus. Saw multiple groups of disciples gathered and start into these distant villages. And he would ride his bike every evening. And his bike got ran over by a bus. So when I met with him we were about to have this meeting, he met with me before. And he said, "Brother, I need to get out to these villages." And my bike got ran over by the bus, and showed a picture of it and all this kind of thing. And he's such a trustworthy guy, I believe him. It would cost $60. I mean, relatively $60 in US currency to get him a new bike. I had $120 in my pocket. And I said no. And I prayed for him. And then we got together with a bunch of church planners, right? And we had our meeting. And we discussed how our church is doing in health. And then one of the issues all these pastors said is we're struggling with generosity. I struggle as a pastor being supported. These new believers, they need to be taught to give and to steward it well. And then I said, okay, well, how did Jesus do it? And I had them search the scriptures. They came to this conclusion from the Bible, right? Actually, we've been doing it wrong. People were giving us the money and we were putting it in our pocket. Where Jesus actually had someone, Judas, right, who dealt with the money. Jesus never dealt with the money. There was transparency. And so we need to do that. And I said, we should probably also practice generosity too. They're like, yeah, we should just practice it. All right, so appoint two treasurers. They appointed two treasurers. Now what need do we need to address? And so everyone shared. And eventually my brother, my friend, said, what happened to his bicycle? And it became clear to absolutely everyone. This is what we should support. Mm-hmm. And he's with tears in his eyes. The money was gathered right there. And I contributed, right? But God provided everything. But if I just gave him that money, he would have lost out of the blessing and the community and the growth and the encouragement mm-hmm. that clearly came from God.
He would have lost out, and the people, all the other leaders would have lost out.
Mm-hmm. They get to care for their brother that they've been laboring alongside by side with.
I think it's kind of connected to the rest idea.
Uh-huh.
The rest idea in the sense that we feel the need that we have to be the solution to everybody's mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that ultimately benevolence is helping somebody, empowering people. And so that story also illustrates kind of what you're talking about, the need to have a relationship. I think the more closely connected you are in relationship, the more data you have mm-hmm. and the more understanding you have, and the better you can help somebody.
Yeah.
Right. So just to illustrate it this way, a guy's holding a sign along the street, right? And you feel like, okay, he's got a sign that says, you know, he needs money mm-hmm. for food. And so, okay, what would you advise in that situation? Well, I would advise get to know him, ask some questions, gather some data, try to assess how you can best help him. Because at that point, then you can provide a solution that's appropriate for the need that he really has. Mm-hmm. But what we make the mistake a lot of time is we don't know the situation. We just throw money at it. You could have just thrown money at the bike
mm-hmm.
and we don't always make the right solution or offer the right solution. So people in our church, we know better. We have a relationship. We can better address and assess the need. So we should prioritize that because I think it's also a question of stewardship. And so we try to steward that well.
I think it exposes this. We have a weird way of saying wealth in the West. We see it as money, liquidity, like what you can purchase, what you can do with your money. It's very materialistic. But the truth is that I think in the kingdom, the most richest people are the one who have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Jesus promised,
right?
You will lose family. Anyone who would be willing to give up mother or brother or sister for the sake of the kingdom will receive 100 times more in this life and eternal life. That the gift is relationships, that God brings you into a family that actually gives a rip about you and actually cares about you. And the biggest gift, the way you invite people into actual wealth is to invite people into a relationship with the family of God and with God himself. And when you have that, and when you're able to get over yourself because you're really living in the gospel of grace and you have a desire of extending forgiveness and generosity, when you're in that community, you are more secure than anyone else you can imagine.
So practically, somebody has a need. What do they need to do? How do they get help from our benevolence fund?
Yeah.
How can we help people?
Yeah. So on our website, if you go to livinghopefamily.com/help, there's a form. If you come in person, we also have a form available, and it's just an initial contact, you put in your information. One of the questions on there that's going to be very important is that what is your connection with Living Hope Church? I believe we say something along the lines of, we are a community of faith. We're not a support conduit. We support City Mission, Christian Clearinghouse, a lot of organizations that do specific needs. But as not a support conduit, but as a community of faith, we believe that the best way that we can help people is in connection and relationship with our church. So we'll ask you, are you part of our church? Do you know anyone who's part of our church? Because maybe you're not a part of our church, you need help, but maybe you know somebody, because we actually have you check a box to say that you're open and willing for this need to maybe not be met by, you know, the church staff, but for other people who actually are connected with us to journey with you in it. And we don't do it like, there's no bad reason why we do it. It's just, we know what actually can help people because here's the guilt that a lot of people go through. When you really look at poverty, you realize that there is injustice. There are a lot of people who are just with the system, their background, they just didn't have the means, and they've just been trampled all over, and they're treated like a doormat. Mm. In response, out of guilt, we would feel bad if we don't let someone potentially trample on us because they've never had, anyone give them what they need. We feel like we cannot say no, even if what they're asking for, we cannot know in good conscience if it's really going to help them.
And so by not saying no, what we actually communicate to them is a message that I used to get this all the time when I worked at the homeless shelter. It would be a message that you're incapable, you're incompetent, you need me. So I'll be your hero, I'll be the solution to your problem. And that, it was subliminal. We didn't say that, but our actions communicated that. And so it reinforces, I am stupid, I can't do it, I can't. Yeah. But a relationship of coming alongside of somebody to be able to really help someone and call them to maximize their image of God, their humanity. Like, you are capable, you have dignity, you have value as a human being. And so how about this question? Say I'm somebody at Living Hope Church and I want to help somebody, but I really don't have the extra margin in my budget. Would we be open to them coming to us saying, hey, Pastor Dave, I really want to help this friend. I know they're trying really hard.
Yeah.
Would we as a church be willing to partner if I walk along and journey with them?
Yes.
Would we be willing to give some money to that person to work with them to address a benevolent issue.
Those are the situations that I think we would be looking for.
Right.
It's kind of like being a lizard instead of a frog. A frog waits around, right, for someone to come to them, I got a need, and a sob story, and it's like, gobble up all those things and just spend your money by the first person who asks. A lizard, like, goes after opportunities. So, hey, if we have benevolence budget, which we do, we want to be proactive in stewarding it, right? Mm-hmm. And so we need to be on the move looking for opportunities to really help people in ways that are not just material, but spiritual, and those connect in relationship. And so the only thing I would just say for the person who may, if you know someone in need, is that you can't just hand off the relationship to me, right? Or to us, mm-hmm. right? God has already roped you in relation to that person. And so we can help, the whole body can help in maybe the areas if there's a financial need, walk with them and then let us, right, help in some of the areas that maybe if it's not the time or if it's not the finances, we can help that. But we want to do it in relationship, in partnership. So those are the sort of things. I know it's really hard. I think relationship is hard. It's really easy to try to go off and ask for help where nobody knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to fight against that and preach against that, because it's bought into this false gospel, right, that if I'm not pulling myself up by my own bootstraps and if I'm not self-sufficient, then I'm something less than. Mm-hmm. And we feel good about being the savior,
yeah.
saying yes to the person, the underdog, always been trampled. I get to say yes to you, and I get to be the provider, I get to be the benefactor, and I get to be the giver.
Yeah.
But if you do that enough, you can never ask for help.
And that's why I struggle with the word nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it just in my mind, it's connected to that, like, that belief that I somehow am going to solve the problem. And no, I think that is not the case, though.
Okay, how about this? Can I be nice and needy at the same time?
Can I be nice and needy at the same time?
I'm needy and I'm nice. No, I'm like, does that make nice better for you? Because it's not like I can always just be nice and just give people what they want. And
see, I think the niceness, I don't know if I understand your question exactly. I think the niceness is from the benefactor.
Yeah.
They want to be nice.
Yeah.
I'm agreeable to help you.
Yeah.
But I need people to be nice to me too, because I'm fragile.
Yeah.
And I'm weak.
I see. So that person isn't always open to a challenge. Like, hey, you can do this. You can address this issue. So let's sit down and talk through your budget.
Yeah.
Because I believe that you have the wherewithal and the ability to steward what you have, and we could rearrange some things and we'll give you some money to get in the right direction. But I'd like to talk to you about, sometimes people are fragile. They can't, they can't hear that.
So it is a weird way of saying, nice and needy, but I guess it's this reciprocal. There is a mutual care, mutual accountability, mutual encouragement that happens. It's weird. It's like, even in discipleship, it's not like, it doesn't flow one way, right? Generosity never flows one way.
Right.
Even if you're sitting with someone who's down and out, they actually have, whether it's in their head, it's in their mind, they have the connections already. They have the wherewithal already. They've been beaten down. They've been denied. But it's already there that you actually need to help them, right? You're helping them figure out what they already have. And then you can give some too, right? And it's the idea of everyone has different spiritual gifts and everyone has been given different things. But the loving one another, serving one another, being generous to one another, I need something from you just as much as you need something from me. And as brothers in Christ, helping someone in benevolence is just in community figuring that out.
Yeah, think about Galatians 6, 9, and 10. I found what I was referencing earlier. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. So what I appreciate about what you guys are talking about, because I think of another couple of examples within our church of people who are helping people, like maybe get their high school diploma or helping them get connected with a job. So they're coming alongside them, encouraging them, saying, here's the steps that you can take to better your particular situation. And that's done in love. It's done in friendship. It's done in relationship. It's done in care. But when we're connected within the church, a lot like biblical counseling, There's this whole swirl of things that happen: relationships, prayer, accountability, encouragement, reciprocal learning from each other, instead of the cold transactional type thing too. So I like the direction that's going. So
well, that's the pitfall
that you guys are
is seeing
forming.
The church as some kind of institution,
yeah,
instead of like a
family. Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy, and I think people, there's some people, it becomes obvious if you try to reach out for help and you see us as an institution, right? Call the office, share your story, mm-hmm. and then cuss me out. Right?
Not when I say no.
Mm-hmm. Cuss me out when I invite them
uh-huh.
into community.
Yeah.
And to really like the wealth that they really need
mm-hmm.
is that you can profess to be a believer, but man, the greatest thing you need brothers and sisters who actually are walking with you in your life.
Yep.
If you're not willing to do that, then it's not that we're not willing to help. It's that is the way we can help.
Yeah, that's good.
That is the biggest thing. It's not yeah. about money.
And it gets to the root of the yeah. heart of yeah. the matter. And so if you're listening and you're like, how do I know if I should help somebody or not? I just would encourage you to just start asking questions, get to know them. Invite them into community. If they're reciprocal in that and they're responsive to that, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, those are the kinds of great opportunities that are really, I think, meaningful and can really be a lasting change and opportunities to really help somebody. There's two resources I can't help but say.
Do it. Do it. LiveTree resources.
When Helping Hurts and yeah. Toxic Charity are two, not necessarily, I wouldn't call them great exegetical, like mm-hmm. deep biblical, but they're written from kind of that Judeo-Christian perspective that I think they get at the heart of what we're talking about, where we're talking about calling people into community,
mm-hmm.
calling them into relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I would say I've read When Helping Hurts. I think it's really good. It will deconstruct really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I do think what's missing from yeah. that book is a little bit what we talked about, that kind of more this redefinition of really what wealth is.
Yeah.
It's Jesus even talked about it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I don't want to beg. I'm just going to forgive people all their debts. And Jesus is like, that guy's shrewd
because mm-hmm.
now he's got places like, how much more? You have wealth in heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this idea of actually, it's really faith community. That's the only solution I have. It's the only thing we can offer, really.
Yeah.
If you read that book, you'll walk away going like, oh, apart from like micro loans that are like really well managed and that like management, there's high accountability and it's really diffused and diversified. I don't think I can do anything charitable. It's not true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
So the moral of the story is you will not be receiving a phone call, an email, or a text from me that says, meet me in a parking lot.
No gift
Somebody
cards.
At church needs gift cards. Don't tell anybody about yeah. it.
So if you get an email from us, it will have @livinghopefinley.com.
And if we really need your help, I'm going to call you, and you're going to hear my voice at the other
yes.
end of the line. But
yes.
that hasn't really ever happened, so I don't anticipate it will again. So
yes, and Prince Abubu Abujal is not wanting to give
me $5 billion.
Is not the crown prince who's disposed, who just needs a little bit of your money.
Oh, that's good.
All right.
Amen.
Hey, that was fun. See you guys next time.